course be chatting with Mr. Rafa Gonzalez a little later on about the games from last night. But a man who's joining me now to talk all things, everything else going on around the Premier League, and not just Chelsea. Remember, we don't just follow Chelsea on this show, is Mr. Will Tidy from Bleacher Report, I think, is ready on the line for us now. Will, how are you doing today, man? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Very well, thanks, Oliver. Pleasure to be on, as always.
Always a pleasure to have you back, Will. We seem to get you kind of 5-6 times a season, and it never gets tiresome having you and your voice joining us on the WFD airwaves, mate. As a Manchester United fan, what's your reaction to Fergie's reaction to Andy Carroll's challenge yesterday on David De Gea?
Well, you know, we know what Andy Carroll is all about. I've watched it back several times. Only the player knows in those situations, I think, Oliver. It's one of those things where you jump for a challenge. Only the player knows if there's intention to hurt Vidic there or not. And you have to give him the benefit of the doubt if he's saying that there wasn't. Otherwise, we would kind of rule aerial challenges out of the game completely, I think. And I do think with Ferguson, sometimes there's a bit of a distraction tactic that goes on. United didn't play particularly well. He's got some issues there. I think, you know, Van Persie's short on form. He took Rooney off again. So it's a nice distraction to be able to come out of a game like that and say, oh, you know, the referee made a bad call. He should have sent somebody off. It stops everyone talking about perhaps some of the hotter issues, I think.
There was a talking point in the Daily Mail today about Wayne Rooney and this kind of new, deeper role that he's playing for Manchester United, looking a little lost and a little confused about how deep he should drop to come and collect the ball and really in where he fits into this United side. What is the future for Rooney? Is it this kind of deeper line midfield role?
I don't think so. I've been against that right from the start. I was at Old Trafford. I watched him play. I think it was Otolo Galati in the Champions League, and he played Rooney in that midfield role. And it's funny because some of the journalists, their reports afterwards were hailing Rooney and saying that he was a key influence in that game. I thought it was dreadful, really, in the sense that he did a job. He did a solid job, but that's not where his skill set thrives, I don't think. I think his best use is in behind a striker. You know, if you play the three in behind Van Persie, I think Rooney's role is as one of those three. I don't think he has acclimatized to being a natural central midfielder. I don't think that's the best use of him. So I'm against it, really. I feel like he should either play in that three or not be out there, to be honest.
I mean, Rooney's somebody that gets a lot of praise for his playmaking ability, but he does appear kind of lost at this moment in time. How much do you think can he adapt at this later stage of his career to make this work for him at all, or is it a case of Ferguson's going to have to find a way to fit him in up front?
I think it's a very difficult one because maybe the player himself enjoys that position and would relish the chance to be more influential in that role. You know, these days in the game, you get so much of the ball in that part of the field. You know, Michael Carrick yesterday, I think, played about three times more passes than any player on the West Ham side. So, you know, Rooney's loves to be on the ball. So that gives him that chance to be influential. That said, I think as a dynamic attacking player, he gives United more. And I think there are other players that can do the job he does in midfield just as well as he can. Really, I'd rather see, you know, I think somebody like Tom Cleverley in there is more effective in the sense that he just, it's the nuts and bolts job, really. I like to see Rooney further up the field because he's a goal threat for United. And that's where I think he brings the influence that really is the return on the value.
But with the number of attacking players that United have, I mean, they already brought in Kagawa in the off-season, of course, and Robin Van Persie. Hernandez is obviously there. Welbeck is there as well. Is there a need to maybe ship at least one of these big attacking players off somewhere else around the globe? And United obviously continue to keep buying a couple of players every season as well.
It's difficult with Kagawa because I think we saw against West Ham, Ferguson tried to start him off out wide. And it really, I've seen him do that with Kagawa several times this season. It shackles him. That's not why he bought Kagawa. He bought Kagawa because he was a dynamic attacking player with Borussia Dortmund who set up and scored a lot of goals for them in two successive championship winning sides. And what you saw last night was when he moved him into the central area in the second half, where he really wants to play and where he thrives, Kagawa was so much more influential for United. And in fact, even the first goal that he set up for United during the first half was when he came inside. That's where he needs to be. So that's the problem that Ferguson's got, is really it comes down to, at the moment, Kagawa versus Rooney for that central role in there. Otherwise, he's got to ask one of them to play wide.
And wide players is something that maybe he's slightly running out of options. Nani was rumoured to be heading elsewhere towards the middle part of this season, and he's still clutching on Ryan Giggs and potentially keeping him around Manchester United for another extended period of time, but tired legs in there. Do you see that being a need to maybe bring in somebody else in that wide play to just to open up the flanks a bit more for United?
I think potentially, looking back at the last couple of seasons, Valencia's looked a little flat recently, and maybe that's just him returning to his fitness. We've talked a lot about he's a player who really needs to be at the peak of his fitness to bring the kind of influence that United need, and maybe he's not quite there physically. Ashley Young has kind of dipped in and out of form. Nani is an enigma, isn't he? I mean, we see him sometimes, he's a match winner, and then other times, you just, you know, there's a game recently that United played where he just gave the ball away every time he had it, and he looked like he was half asleep. I think they could benefit from having another wide player. It's interesting that Chelsea seem to have got this, you know, Schürrle from Leverkusen, that, you know, Chelsea seem to have a surplus of players like that. United seem to have maybe not enough at the level that they need right now. But maybe you can, if you try and make Kagawa into one of those players, I'm not sure that he's so suited to playing in the wide role. That's the problem.
Now, United dropped points last night. Should have arguably, according to Sam Allardyce, have been 3 points for West Ham yesterday evening. There's always the talk of technology in football. Now, especially now we've got goal line technology, Will, do you think it's important that we actually, the next step and really the step before goal line technology should be the offside rule and making sure that we get these calls correct? Because however much it benefited your Manchester United boys last night, it's still something that affects games more often than goal line technology.
Yeah, I've got an interesting take on that. So I'm not sure I want technology to look after offside decisions, because I think the flow of the game, I just think that's a step too far. What I will say is this: I think if goal line technology had been in place at that game yesterday, I think the assistant referee wouldn't have had to have had so much focus on Kagawa's shot in that situation. I think that's what happens now, is the assistants are so focused in a situation like that on watching the goal line and watching what's going on, that it's very hard for them to keep an eye at the same time on Van Persie in that situation. You know, the linesman's following the path of Kagawa's shot because he's having to see whether it crosses the line or not. Mm. So maybe he misses Van Persie in the front of his vision there because of that. And had he not had to do that, he would have caught him offside.
An interesting take on that, Will. I hadn't thought about it like that, of a linesman getting distracted in those sorts of situations by having to check that the ball goes across. Very very novel idea, and I got to say, I kind of like it. I'm jumping up on that bomb, on that bandwagon very quickly here, Will. With United's slip-up, though, last night, does it open a door slightly for Manchester City, or is there no point talking about this because the Premier League race is still over?
Yeah, the Premier League race is done. I think it was done 3, 4, 5 games ago, really. Yeah. It would take something just, unprecedented now, and it's not going to happen, really. So it's just about City. I think for City, it's about finishing strongly. It's about trying to win the FA Cup. And, it's just taking some momentum into the summer, I think, because for City, it's about coming back in the same vein that we saw them, against United at Old Trafford. They just fell off a little bit. I don't know what happened to them during the middle of the season, but they seem to have recovered a little bit of their form that they showed last season of late. So, you know, that needs to come through the summer, and then that needs to hit the Champions League group stage running. And, you know, I don't think Mancini can afford another failure at the Champions League group stage. I think he'll be gone if that happens by January.
There's plenty of big games coming up this weekend still around the Premier League, and that race for the Champions League spots between Chelsea, Arsenal and Tottenham is still well underway. Tottenham with the problems, the injury problems late season at the moment, and with a reasonably difficult schedule, who do you think is going to be taking those Champions League spots below the United clubs this season? The Manchester clubs, sorry, this season.
I think Chelsea for sure, because I think Rafa Benitez has, despite all the adversity and all the fan opposition to him being there, I think he's managed to galvanise his team there. And I think Chelsea will finish strongly now and they'll secure the third spot. If I had to pick one of the two North London clubs, I just feel like Arsenal are going to get it done right now. I think Tottenham, I don't know. I just feel like experience will tell a little bit. And as much as Arsenal have got their weaknesses, I just think that they are the club for me that's probably going to edge this one between the two North London clubs, just because Wenger knows how to get it done in this point of the season. It means a lot for both clubs. It's huge, really, in terms of their summer transfer activity, because, you know, as we know, getting into the Champions League is the carrot that can, you know, that can attract the players that you want to sign. And if Tottenham fail to do that, will Gareth Bale leave? I think it's I think it's 50-50. I think if Arsenal fail to make the Champions League, I mean, who is going to want to sign for Arsenal this summer?
It's a very difficult thing for Arsene Wenger to attract players to the Emirates Stadium anyway at the moment. They always seem to be a day or so behind when we get into August, behind anybody else that's going for big-name players, that's for sure. If Arsenal struggled against Everton in midweek and Wenger came out and said it was a very tough physical game, overly so, what did you make of that? Because we've seen two very tough physical games with Manchester City and Chelsea and the Everton-Arsenal game as well in this week. Is it good to see the physicality back in football, Will? Have we been maybe pampered a little by the number of players that we see going over easy and taking contact?
I like it. I thought the contrast in the West Ham United game was really interesting to see, actually. And I think with David Moyes, with the way Everton played at Arsenal, was that, you know, David Moyes laughed at, you know, he said, you know, this is how we actually do things up north, you know. And it was I thought it was an interesting, you know, it was a fight. Moyes seems to be enjoying himself right now, and I'd read into that what we will. Maybe he's about to make a move. But I think the thing is about it, there's nothing wrong with playing physical football. I thought most of what West Ham did last night was just, you know, there were real touches of class mixed in with the way that they took, the way that they went at United. They pressed them very hard, and every chance they had, they exerted that physicality there. And I don't see anything wrong with that, because if you can't compete in the market, you can't spend 30 or 40 million pounds buying a Van Persie, whoever, then, you know, you've got to compete in every way that you can. So I think all credit to Sam Allardyce, because as much as he's not playing the kind of football that West Ham fans really want to see, he's got them. He's going to keep them in the Premier League, you know. And as they look towards moving towards that Olympic Stadium, that's really all that matters for them right now. Everton, it's a shame. I don't think they're going to get, you know, a Champions League spot, possibly not a Europa League spot. But David Moyes just consistently gets them, you know, in the top of, you know, the upper reaches of the table, because he plays to their strengths.
And aside in that West Ham away from that relegation battle, aside that are deep in it still is Wigan Athletic, Will. Just before we let you go, the last question of the day. With Wigan and the performances they showed against City last night, and the performances that we know they can have at the end of the season, are you still backing them to stay out of this one? Who takes their place as well, with Sunderland having almost a Di Canio kick, if you will, and Stoke still slipping down along with Norwich? What's going on with these final few relegation places?
Okay, so I think Wigan actually have a reasonable run-in from here. I mean, it's unfortunate they end the season against Manchester City, at Manchester City, which is not ideal. I just think at the moment, Stoke are in real trouble. And I think if Wigan can get a couple of wins on the way in, and I think they're capable of doing it, I think that it's going to be Stoke that join QPR and Reading. I really do. I think Stoke are in a lot of trouble. I think Wigan have proved in their last couple of games, you know, the draw that they had at QPR, I think, and then, you know, they certainly weren't blown away by Manchester City. So I just think they've got enough, and I think it will be Stoke that drop down.
Stoke to take the drop, and Tony Pulis will not have many fans in the Midlands if that is the case. Will, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show. We'll let you get back to the day job of entertaining us all with all the stuff that you get on Bleacher Report, and we look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible, although your Manchester United boys might be champions the next time we have a chat with you. I'm sure there's a big smile on your face at that thought.
Yeah, well, I think so. Not bad, is it?
Take care, Will. Have a very good end of the season, and we look forward to getting you back on WFD as soon as possible, mate.
Thanks, Oliver. Been a pleasure, mate.
Cheers there. Will Tidy just joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things English Premier League footballing action. Manchester United taking on West Ham last night in a battling encounter down at Upton Park, and we'll be very happy to see at least a point gained.